Christian, God isn't mad or disappointed in you. He knows you fully and loves you perfectly. He provided a savior, not a goal. You're free to be yourself and come on in. Welcome to the Grace Cafe.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Grace Cafe podcast. Our first podcast for 2024. Hopefully the first of many. My name is Mike Adams.
And I'm Susan.
And we are hosts together of the Grace Cafe podcast. In this episode, we want to do a little bit of catching up with you because it's been a while since we've done a podcast. Things in life have just kind of prevented us from getting in here real consistently. So Lord willing, that'll change, and we'll be able to be a little bit more consistent in our podcasting schedule. You like that dramatic pause?
Yeah.
Our podcasting schedule. Wow, that sounds official. So, just as we get started here, let's talk about some things going on in our life, our lives.
Well, let's first talk about what happened to you. And the scariness of it all.
Yeah, I had a bit of a health scare.
Real health scare for me.
Yeah, we thought I was maybe having a stroke. And fortunately, that turned out to not be the case. But it was a little weird. I mean, I lost a day. You know, there's a day, or the majority of a day, probably 90% of the day that I don't remember. It was really weird.
It was transient global amnesia is what it turned out to be. The paramedics thought that it was a stroke also. So they took you to the closest stroke hospital.
Right. And fortunately, that turned out to not be the case. But I did get to spend the night and didn't get any sleep because I always wake you up. And then came home the next day and, you know, things have been progressing. So, but that was really weird. That was really weird for me because there's just these big gaps in the day that you told me what was going on, but I have no memory of it.
Well, yeah, it affected the part of your brain for short-term memory. So you were incapable of making any new memories during that whole period of time. So every 5 minutes I'd get the same question. What time is it? Where are we? Do the kids know? And it was just like on and on and on. What time is it? Where are we? Do the kids know? What hospital are we at?
Yeah, and for me, it didn't really get scary until later in the day when I started to kind of come back. And I realized that I was in the hospital because I have no memory of going there.
Right.
I don't remember the paramedics. I don't remember the ambulance ride. Even to this day, I don't remember that stuff. And when I got there, one of the first things they did was a CT scan. And I don't remember that. I do remember the MRI because that was later that night.
It was in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's one of those things that came in and wake you up for, you know, hey, we're going to go take pictures of your brain. Everything came back normal, and for which I'm really glad. The plus is I got a really good exam out of the thing.
Yeah, you did. Your heart's fine. They did all the heart tests.
And everything was fine, and my brain is fine, or at least as fine as it gets, which is arguably not that fine. But yeah, everything came back normal. And then the neurologist came in to release me the following night. And he told me what it was, you know, like you said, transient global amnesia, which I'd never heard of. And so since then, I've Googled it, you know, and come up with some good articles, especially from Mayo Clinic. They described it to a T, what happened to me. And he told me that the good news is it only happens once. And so I said to him, well, at least I got that out of the way. Don't have to worry about that again. Mayo Clinic said that they've seen it twice in people. And, you know, people my age, usually.
With migraines.
That are prone to migraines, which I do get migraines. So, yeah, hopefully that was a one and done kind of a deal. That was scary. Again, it was scary for me once I realized what was going on. I remember being in the garage talking to you, and then my next memory is I'm in a hospital bed and our youngest daughter's talking to me. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, there were some, you know, it was really the really scary part, and I took a picture of the paramedics. You were sitting in our chair, in your chair, and they were working on you and hooking you up, and the look on your face was just vacant. And like, you would do what people told you to do. You did what I told you to do when I was on 911 and had to ask you to smile and all these, the things that you do to see if someone's having a stroke. And you just did everything, but you were just like not there. But some good things happened. I mean, it was really cool to see our kids come around me mm-hmm. and around you. I called our son right away and said what hospital we were headed to, and he met me there. Our youngest daughter showed up at the hospital, and our oldest daughter was on a group text that our son had started, a family text going. And so it was just a comfort to see that happen and not have it be anything turned out to be horrible. You know, we got to see a preview of how they're going to pull together if we need them.
Right.
And that was pretty awesome. And it really worked out cool because our neighbor, you know, yay neighbors, he's a nurse at the hospital we were going to, and he's on the stroke floor. So I texted him and told him we were on our way. So he was able to like keep us informed of what status you were, because they weren't coming in and giving us updates. And he was able to just work behind the scenes, and that was awesome. And he came down and saw you a couple of times. And
yeah, that was nice.
And then, you know, other neighbors were texting, is Mike okay? You know, we saw him getting loaded up in the ambulance. And
yeah, which thing I don't remember.
So, you know, it turned out really great, but it was very scary. And I'm, you know, just thankful that we have the Lord, because yeah. I really felt embraced by Him through it all.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, that night that I spent in the hospital, you know, the hospital was so full, I couldn't get a room. And so they had converted, I guess it was a gymnasium.
Well, it was the rehab center, yeah.
Okay. They kept calling it a gym. So they converted that, you know, with curtains and everything. And I was in there with like six other people, you know, separated by curtains. Didn't get a lot of sleep, but the care was excellent.
Yeah.
You know, the nurse that I had was really good. Her name was, I guess it's okay to give her name here on a podcast.
Nick. No one's going to know.
Yeah, her name was Nick, which I'm assuming is short for something. But I started calling her Nick at night because, you know, I spent the night. She was the night nurse. And anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, the care was really good. And no complaints at all.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The next morning, you get a text from our son saying, oh yeah, by the way, Dad, I will go ahead and take all that podcast equipment off that you offered
That's
me.
That's right. I said, in your dreams. If I get out of here, I'm still using it. So yeah, we got quite a little podcast studio here. We've converted one of the rooms in our house that we moved into last April. It's a full-time recording studio, and I get clients in here sometimes and do things that get paid for. And yeah, so it's a lucky little side business that I have. And we get the benefit of being able to podcast in here.
Another piece of business I want to address is I recently got...
a piece of business.
Well, I recently got a question on YouTube, well, you did, about me asking if when I said during the podcast that we were doing on women, when I said, this is why I don't read the Bible anymore, and he wanted to know if I was joking. And I thought that was a honest question, a fair question. And no, I wasn't. I'd like to do some explaining, because I realized after I read that question that we had started this podcast over. And we had how many years of this podcast before that we took down?
Well, from 2015. So we had 8 years or a little bit more than that before we took it down.
Yeah. So in that, we tell our whole story in bits and pieces. And it was very traumatic story for us and a lot of trauma involved. And the Bible was weaponized against us. And it was a weapon all the years we were at that place. And it was not a good thing. It was used to make me feel like I was a disappointment to God. And in the end, that's what was I was told. So reading the Bible became very difficult because I would have these physical trauma responses in my body that I couldn't control. And you can't just say, oh, this is good stuff. I need to read it. I just couldn't. I'm learning to read it again, thanks to the Grace Guys.
Growing in Grace.
Growing. I just call them the Grace Guys. It's Growing in Grace.
That's what I do too. The Grace Guys.
And Brad Robertson going through his Hebrew study is helping because you know what? The New Covenant. And when you look at Scripture through the New Covenant, it changes. It changes the feel of how those words impact my heart. And I don't know, it's just really changed everything up. And so I am reading, but I've gone years without it. But you know what? I have Jesus, and He lives in me, and I live in Him, and we still walk together, and He spends every day with me because we're together. So,
well, the Bible's a fairly recent phenomenon. It didn't exist. It was compiled a few hundred years later, after the Book of Acts, and nobody had it. And yet they thrived in the Lord probably more so than most of us do, because the gospel was so new and so fresh. It wasn't without issues. There was a lot of law issues, with James and, that whole crowd. But overall, no one was practicing spiritual disciplines, whatever those are. There wasn't you need to get away and read the Bible and, get through the Bible in a year.
Or quiet time.
Yeah, whatever. And, develop this and develop that. And in order to remain pleasing to God, you need to be doing your part. There was none of that. And so in a sense, it's a return to that, or it was a return to that. It is a return to that. And we've elevated the Bible. Let me say this. I like the Bible. I'm glad I have the Bible. If anyone listens to the On Sunday show, I use the Bible a lot. I rely on the Bible. I rely on it as, an accurate representation of things concerning, spiritual things and things about our condition and redemptive history and so on. I rely on it. So I'm not dissing the Bible. But at the same time, we've elevated the Bible to the fourth person of the Trinity. And we've almost deified the Bible. We call it the Word of God when the Bible never calls itself the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus in the Scriptures. And the Word of God is a message about Jesus in the Scriptures. This is what Paul told the Thessalonian churches, that when they heard the gospel, they received it for what it really is, the Word of God. He literally labels the gospel the Word of God, not the whole Bible. And so, that's freeing. That's freeing to get away from that and realize that, there's no obligation. God isn't expecting me to memorize Scripture, to develop some kind of spiritual discipline, whatever that means. And it isn't part of the Christian life. It's an add-on.
Well, I know that for me, studying the Bible, memorizing the Bible, reading the Bible, it all began to replace relationship with Jesus. And being correct in my doctrine was more, I wouldn't have said it. I would say, oh yeah, I have a relationship with God. But I was more focused on doctrine and theology and being right. And I'm just not there anymore.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the other night we were listening to Growing in Grace, and for some reason I just started thinking about, man, if we could all understand the gospel and understand why Jesus came and what He did for us, I think it would trickle down to affect a lot of the doctrine that is opposing each other, and even the ones that it didn't affect and we still believe differently. If we really understood the gospel, I think all of this animosity and hatred and yelling and fear mongering, whatever going on, would go away. That real believers would be able to just communicate with each other and hang out with each other and not have to believe the same thing.
Yeah, because what would matter would be Jesus Christ and Him crucified,
Yeah.
And that's all Paul was concerned with. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think sound doctrine in the New Testament centers around that. It doesn't center around whether I'm pre-trib, post-trib, you know, all-meal, pre-meal, pan-meal, you know, whatever. It doesn't center around that. That stuff's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to disagree about that stuff. But the one thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. And the way that that happens is through a proper understanding of the gospel and the grace of God and what is already ours in Jesus. You know, I already have the complete forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. I don't need to beg him for that. I don't need to, you know, make sure that I'm confessing all of my sins all the time to him in order to stay in his good graces. No, Jesus did all that. I don't have to do that kind of stuff anymore.
And I don't have to go around and beat myself up every day because I'm not perfect, because I sin. I don't even think about if I'm sinning or not anymore. I mean, I don't go out and intentionally do things that are bad, but you have to understand that when we were where we were at, everything was sin. Oh, you thought that? That attitude? That's sin. That's sinful. You're being sinful. You said that? That's sinful. You didn't do this? Well, that's sinful. Everything was sinful. And I was the type with the personality that just, like, everything about me, I'd be out pulling weeds and all I could think about was, oh, this is like my sin. I pull one and it comes back. I pull one, another one comes up. Or doing the dishes and thinking, I wish I could get clean, but these dishes are going to get dirty again, just like I get dirty. That's how I lived. That's the space I lived. So unhealthy.
It is, because in Christ, you've been made perfect forever, you know, and man, when you realize that, you stop looking at your spiritual navel. You stop looking at your own performance.
Yeah.
And it's so freeing, because back when we were in that system, that's all I did was look at my performance. How am I doing? Am I even a believer?
Yeah.
And when we would do the Lord's Supper, communion, it wasn't about remembering Jesus. It was about confessing all of your sin and a reminder of how screwed up you are and how sinful you are and how you just don't deserve. And, you know, the whole thing just got morphed. That's the system of religion. That's what it does, because it has to keep you there. If it releases you, you're going to leave.
Yeah.
And if you leave, we're losing money. And so, you know, it's going to do what it needs to do to survive. And what it needs to survive is your finances, your money, your time, your talents. And the way that it does that is through guilt. You know, the thing that we were involved in too, there's another layer on there that I'd like to talk about. We talked about the new covenant in that setting.
Oh, yeah.
But it was in a system. It was in a theological system that had been developed or that was being developed called New Covenant Theology. And just like any other theology, in my opinion, like covenant theology or any other systematized theology, as soon as you start to systematize it, it begins to die. And that's what happened with the groups that we were in, this New Covenant Theology. I want to caution people that if you come across a site or a group that is boasting New Covenant Theology, that red flags should go up, because you're going to get a weird flavor of the New Covenant. You just are, because it's being systematized. And the one that we were in, you know, it was about, yeah, we talk a lot about the New Covenant, but we're also under the law of Christ. And so there were these set of rules.
Performance.
Yeah, that had to be followed. It wasn't enough to just be, or to just recognize the New Covenant. You had to be about strengthening yourself and doing things yourself. And so there was that layer of it too. And that left a really bad taste with me for years.
Oh, yeah. I remember when you first introduced me to the Growing in Grace guys, and they started saying the words New Covenant, and it just kind of freaked me out, I mean, physically. And we had them on our podcast once, and I just kind of sat there frozen watching them on, it wasn't Zoom at the time, it was
something, maybe Skype.
Skype
or something.
Yeah, it was Skype. And I still, it was triggering in me. But over time, hearing them talk about New Covenant is so different than what we came out of. Just like a a purity to the gospel that I had left behind a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, the birthplace of the gospel is the new covenant. The new covenant, it's like a cocoon for the gospel. I mean, that's where you can't separate the gospel from the new covenant. When you do, you have an incomplete gospel, or you have an incomplete covenant, one or the other. But, Jesus shed his own blood, and his blood is the blood of the new covenant. In Isaiah 43, he is called the new covenant. And so, in the system we were in, Jesus would get honorable mention from time to time, but it was all about your own performance. And couched in that, there would be the phrases of the new covenant, the new covenant, the new covenant. So the new covenant was polluted, in my opinion, at that time. And so after our crash and burn, I spent a few years I didn't want to hear anything about the new covenant.
Right.
Don't even talk to me about that.
The Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I'm right there with you when, I don't remember the time frame, but when I first started to listen to the Growing in Grace guys, I was a little leery too. But then I went back to the beginning, and I'm one of those guys that started at episode one with them, and I listened through. I did that a couple of times. And I think the second time through, I didn't get all the way through. But at that point, I realized, this is pure gospel.
Yeah.
This is not the new covenant that we learned. This is the actual new covenant, where it's all about grace from beginning to end, and the good news that Jesus accomplished the forgiveness of sins on the cross, and that I don't have to grovel. I believe that, and I've been made righteous. I've been made perfect. He views me as righteous. I have actually been made righteous. I have been made complete in him. And then started warming back up to that as I listened to that podcast more and more, and realizing, boy, this is really good news. Where were these guys earlier? How come I didn't start listening to them in 2005, I think is when they started, But anyway, yeah. I mean, there's a difference in what you listen to and what you believe regarding the new covenant. A lot of people will throw that phrase around, but they don't really understand what it is. So kind of got off on a little tangent there, but I just wanted to say some things about that.
Yeah, I think that just goes back to the whole doctrine thing I brought up. I just long for the day when, I guess that'll be in eternity, when we all can just be together and love one another. I don't see the love one another's happening right now. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, so that kind of sets the context for, some of that. You mentioned earlier that in our previous podcast, which was by the same name, the Grace Cafe podcast, that we had talked about our story all the way through that. So it's good in this episode that we go back and we kind of rehash some of that. And I'd like to do that more.
Yeah, I would too.
In future episodes, kind of go back and just kind of put the pieces together of our stories so that those listening now can get a better flavor for where we're coming from too. So I think that's good.
Oh, that's all I've got today.
Well, I want to talk about one more thing, if that's okay.
Okay.
I want to talk about church.
Oh.
And the dilemma there. We've been talking about attending a church, and there's really a struggle there with me with that thing.
Well, it's coming from me because we've moved down here. We had community and then COVID hit. We lost some people and we ended up moving further south away from most people that we know. And there just isn't consistency in community in our lives right now. And so we have some friends who went back to church just so they could do the small group thing. And they're in a small group. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I just feel like I don't have any consistency in my life right now. And I'm at a place where I want that. And I think it's good. It's not that I feel guilty. I don't feel guilty. I don't feel like, oh man, I better do this, or, God's going to be disappointed in me and he commands me to, what's that verse everybody uses? About forsake the gathering
taking
of the saints.
Hebrews 10 out of context.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that happens.
There's this church on the highway by our house that I've been looking at, and I told you I'd like to try that and then maybe see if I could get into one of their small groups. And then you started researching it, of course.
Yeah. I have, you know, listened to a couple sermons. And the thing that bothers me, you know, I want community. I want a small group too. I want something more consistent. I do. But to get there, you have to go through the other gamut. The gamut being, you know, a Sunday morning service, and I'm using air quotes, and listening to a, you know, a monologue.
Well, I'm thinking we could go just once every 6 months, but still go to the small group.
Well, yeah, that's true. But initially, you have to go to that first thing. And man, I'm just like, you know, this is so not what it should be.
I know.
You know, and then you got to listen to this guy talking, or, you know, and
he's really Old Testament too.
Oh, he's very thick in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Extremely thick. And it's one of those things where they don't know the difference between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant.
Yeah.
It's all just meshed together for them. And so everything goes, you know, and yeah, so.
Well, this is how desperate I am. I went on to our Facebook group that's in our area that we live in.
Our community, our house community.
No, not the house community, the bigger.
Oh, okay.
The bigger one. So I opened myself even more. I said, hey, are there any other people out there who are unchurched, but you still love Jesus and you'd like to have some community? And oh man, this one guy, come on right away, get some community. I'm like, no kidding.
<Get lost. laughs>
And I'm using a nice word there. That's what I'm doing. But it didn't work out. Everyone wanted me to come to their church. So
yeah, and the mean comments that you get there too.
Yeah.
You know, they're just
I just started
kind of crazy.
But so then I thought, let's try a church.
Yeah, and you know, I'm still gonna do that. It's just I want to do that. It's just this dilemma. So let me throw it out to anybody listening. What do you do?
Yeah, really.
You know, what would you suggest? You can go to gracecafepodcast.com and there's a contact form there. You can write to us and let us know. Let us know what you do. You know, what do you do for community when you've been unchurched? Now, how does that work for you? What's going on? What would you suggest? I'd be interested in seeing what other people's ideas are and what their experience is in that, because it is such a, I feel like, you know, with everything that I've done with the On Sunday show and all of the stuff that I've read, you know, church history and, you know, contemporary stuff, I just feel like I'm ruined. You know, I feel like I'm of no value as far as, you know, trying to get involved in a church, because, you know, the whole idea of formal church membership, you know, and, you know, you got to really commit and jump in if you're going to, you know, be a part of this. A lot of them will do that, you know, not all of them. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there and talk about that topic before we wrap up, because, you know, it's something that's pending right now in our lives. And
well, we used to have a group of friends before the pandemic that they'd come over to our house, once a week?
Yeah.
And we'd have dinner and just fellowship, just hang out, just have community together, do life together.
Yeah.
And that all fell apart, so.
Yes, it did.
That would be my ideal thing, but we can't find anybody down here. I can't even find Christians. I mean, I love our neighbors, and we do have them over, and we do go to their house, and we, you know.
Right.
But it's not community with believers, and that's what I'm longing for.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. That's an update on us, a little bit of our lives. What's going on right now, the present dilemma we're facing.
Yeah, give us your ideas, and maybe there's another place that we can ask, can you be my friend?
Maybe so. You never know.
Besides Facebook.
All right. So I guess we're done. We'll wrap it up right there. And I want to thank you all for joining us on this inaugural 2024 episode of the Grace Cafe podcast. And until next time, y'all take care. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Grace Cafe podcast. To be a part of this ongoing conversation, visit us online at gracecafepodcast.com.